So we have been looking at the subjects, the themes of Advent. And Advent is just a kind of a countdown to Christmas. When I was a kid, it was a countdown to opening presents. The older I get, it's about the birth of Jesus and opening presents. I'm just being honest. Every week of Advent has a different theme. We started out with hope and preparation, and today it's about joy. If you walk around in your daily life and you demonstrate or you show joy, people are going to look at you funny, aren't they? The great thing about joy is you can have joy in your heart without being obnoxious or, you know, just being outgoing and expressive. It's a good thing that we can have joy in our hearts even if we're not an excitable type person. Like Royce, you know, he kind of sits there. Last night we had our Christmas program at First Baptist, and several of our members said that they saw Royce just sitting there like that. I just said, that's normal. He's happy. That's just Royce. Yeah, poor Royce. He looks like he's suffering terribly. But Royce has joy in Jesus. I'll tell you, I know Royce, and he may not have joy in his pastor right now, but I know that he has the joy of Jesus in his life. And if you talk to him about his relationship with God, you'll see the joy creep out because he has found joy in Jesus. And I want to remind you that when Jesus was born, there was great joy. All those who knew that Jesus was coming, that Jesus had come, those who knew what that meant, all of them reported to have joy. And in the passages that Tammy read this morning, the first passage in the Gospel of Luke, the shepherds had joy when they heard about Jesus' coming. Their response at first was fear, but their fear was turned into joy. And then in the Matthew passage, it talks about the wise men, the men that had come from the east and had, you know, traveled so far, as the song says. When they came and they saw Jesus, the one that God had revealed to them, the one that God had navigated them before Google Maps and that kind of thing, they followed a star, and they had great joy whenever they saw Jesus. I want you to know that back then, and a couple thousand years later, Jesus brings joy to the Christian's heart. And so I want us to look at that together. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. When Jesus was born, there was a lot of rejoicing going on. And I want to suggest to you this morning that we too should be rejoicing. Now, I know that if you're a Christian, you already have the joy of Jesus in your heart. It just may have been a while since you, got in touch with it. You may have forgotten that you have joy, or maybe it's been a while since you have thought about the joy that Jesus brings to you. But if you're a Christian, you have joy inside of you, whether you recognize it or not. And my hope this morning is that you'll be reminded of the joy that Jesus brought to you, that you'll rekindle that joy if it's kind of gotten, you know, stifled out a bit, and that you would recognize that the message of Jesus is still good news and still brings great joy to our world. So in the Luke 2 passage that Tammy read earlier, it talks about the shepherds. They were out in the field, it says, keeping watch over their flock by night. These were ordinary working class folks. In fact, shepherds were thought to be the lowest of the low. You know, the starting job for a Jewish young man was to be a shepherd. And shepherds were not thought to be honest. They couldn't give testimony in court. Shepherds were considered to be liars, and their testimony was not accurate. People looked down on the shepherds, and, you know, they spent a lot of time with sheep. And so these these men that God revealed Jesus' birth to were common, ordinary people. And that's good news, because we are common, ordinary people. And so when God wanted to announce to the world his son's birth, he didn't pick a big internet media conglomerate. He didn't pick celebrities or royalty. He picked the shepherds. And that's good news, because it helps us to see that the good news of Jesus, the joy that Jesus brings, is for all kinds of people. It's for the well-educated. It's for the non-educated. It's for those with influence. It's for those who do not have influence. Those who have means and those who do not have means. The joy of Jesus can be had by anyone. Jesus came for all kinds of people. And so here they were, just tending their flocks, minding their own business. Probably a night like every other night. Dark, quiet, boring, but not this night. In verse 9 it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." So here it's completely dark, it's quiet. All of a sudden an angel appears, and it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. That means that the glory of God, the white, bright light of God, suddenly came on with this angel. This angel came on, it's completely dark, and then all of a sudden this angel appears, and the darkness is displaced with blinding light, the glory of God, the brightest, whitest light you could ever have. This is no nightlight. This is a spotlight, and more than that. And it, of course, their reaction was that of great fear. In the King James Version, it says they were sore afraid. They were filled with great fear. But look what the angel says in verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." So the shepherds were filled with fear. And oftentimes when we think about God, about heaven, about spiritual things, a lot of times people are filled with fear. They're afraid. But the angel told the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." The angel told, get this, the angel told the shepherds that they need to replace their fear with joy. Replace their fear with joy. And I want you to know that they did replace their fear with joy. And people today, probably all of you, at some point in your life, your fear of God, of punishment, of hell, of judgment, that fear was replaced with joy. And if you haven't, I'd like to talk to you about it. Because Jesus replaces fear with joy. Amen? That's profound. Not because I said it, because the Bible says it. Jesus replaces fear with joy. Now look at the message. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The news of Jesus is coming is good news. It's not bad news. And sometimes we can get down and discouraged, and we can focus on things that maybe we shouldn't be focusing on. And we forget that the message of Jesus is good news. And sometimes maybe we are concerned that a friend or a loved one is not becoming a Christian. We prayed for them. We've shared the good news with them, and they've never come to know Jesus. We might get discouraged, but we should not be discouraged, because the news of Jesus is good news. Now, some people just won't hear, but if they would hear, it would be good news to them. It would be good news. When Jesus came, it was good news. He was going to change the world forever. He was going to provide a way for people to be forgiven, to have a more abundant life and meaningful life here on earth, and then to have the assurance of eternal life in heaven. Jesus brought good news. The message of Jesus is... Now for some, and probably all of us at some point, the message of Jesus at first wasn't good news, because we first had to realize that we're sinners. We first had to realize that just being a good person is not going to get us into heaven. We had to realize that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that all of us have gone our own way. That's bad news. But the good news is that Jesus came to fix all of that. That's the good news. Jesus is not bad news. He is good news. And even though some people don't want to hear, and some may reject you, maybe there are some that you prayed for a long time, that doesn't mean that the news of Jesus is not good. It's still good no matter how people respond. And if anyone really understood, they would understand and they would embrace that the news is good. Jesus replaces fear with joy. Do you have fear about future things, about the future of your life? Do you have fear about where you'll spend eternity? I want you to know that Jesus will help you replace that fear with true joy. And it comes by grace, through faith in Him. And so what's the good news? The angel announced it in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So breaking this down a little bit, city of David was what? Bethlehem. And notice that the angel announced that Jesus would be a Savior. He's not going to be an accountant. He's not going to be a doctor. He's not going to be an electrician or a plumber or a lawyer, any of those things. He said he's going to be a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. God sent Jesus. Jesus came to earth to be a Savior. You know what that implies? It implies we need saving, right? That everybody needs saving. And so when it was the right time and God sent someone to meet our deepest need, our greatest need, He didn't send any kind of medical professional or legal professional or educator or contractor. He sent what we needed the most. Whether you realize it or not today, your greatest need is Jesus. Your greatest need is a Savior. Everybody has sinned against God. Everyone has broken His commandments. We all need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And so when God sent what He knew we needed most, He sent a Savior because we need saving. And who is this? Christ, Messiah, the Lord. He sent Jesus, the Lord. And the angels say, you know, you're going to see a sign of this. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. That was before onesies. And lying in a manger. There was no Babies R Us. And suddenly, there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. So we started out with one angel in the glory of God. That would be enough, wouldn't it? The guys were scared. And then all of a sudden, all of heaven opens up, and it says a multitude of heavenly hosts were praising God. So we went from one angel, which was good, really good, enough, to all these angels. They get a glimpse of heaven. And what do they see? They see a multitude of angels singing this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. And so so they got to see that heaven was in on this birth, right? That maybe it was just the shepherds and there were some wise men that were on their way. Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah. There were some people that knew what was going on, but all of heaven knew. A few people on earth knew, but all of heaven knew what God was doing. That God was bringing joy to replace fear for all who would come to Him. And so when the angels looked at what God was doing, when the angels noticed, when they saw, when they understood that Jesus was coming to earth to be born, all of the heavenly hosts, all of the angels, a multitude of them, began to sing with joy. Y'all are getting this. They began to sing with joy. So there was joy on earth, and there was joy in heaven. Heaven knew what God was up to. Heaven knew what God was doing for people like you and me, so that we could be saved, so that we could have a more abundant and meaningful life here on earth, and so that we could know that we're going to heaven when we die. Heaven was rejoicing at God sending Jesus to be born. The angels knew it, and they rejoiced. Told you there's a lot of rejoicing going on. But that's not all. The rest of the story is the shepherds said, hey, we got to go see this. And so I don't understand how this all worked, but they left the sheep to fend for themselves because they had to go see this baby. Remember, the angel said what to look for. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And so the rest of this story is they went. And wouldn't you if you heard about what God had done? And then in Matthew chapter 2, we find out about the wise men. Looking at Matthew chapter 2 beginning in verse 7. Matthew chapter 2 beginning in verse 7. So sometime later, some wise men who had come from the east, they arrived and they talked to, you know, mean old King Herod. And in verse 7 it says, Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. They had followed a star. That was before GPS and all that kind of stuff. And he wanted to know what time did it appear. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me the word that I too may come and worship him. Wink, wink. If you know the rest of the story, he didn't want to worship him. He wanted to destroy him. But in verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, I want you to say that with me. When they saw the star, some of you are not doing it. When they saw the star, rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's a pretty amazing phrase there, isn't it? Now, Lisa, were you all able to make that slide? Okay. Well, in the original Greek language, I looked it up because I thought it was interesting how it said it. In the original Greek language, this is how it is stated. Now, remember, in other languages, the word order is different. Listen to how it comes in the original language. They rejoiced joy, great extremely. That's the actual word order. They rejoiced joy, great, extremely. Now, how might we translate that? They really, 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 really rejoiced with great joy. I just think that's really neat. The word rejoice and joy are the same word, different forms, and so it's repeated. They rejoiced and joy. Same word for rejoice and joy, great, extremely. And so these wise men didn't go, that's cool. They rejoiced extremely. And they were excited because the star was leading them to the new king of the Jews. That God had revealed it to them. They were not Jews. And God had revealed to them that this new king of the Jews was to be born, and they traveled, as the song says, they traveled so far, right? And the star that had led them there began to lead them into Bethlehem to where the child was. They rejoiced because they were able to visit the new king. And there was something else really special here. The shepherds were Jews. Herod and all them were Jews. Mary and Joseph were Jews. Many of the people around them were Jews, but the wise men were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They were non-Jews. But God had revealed that this king of the Jews was to be born, and God sent the wise men. And here's why that's important, that it was God's plan to include the non-Jews all along. Non-Jews were represented at Jesus' birth. And so it helps us to know that God included all kinds of people in this joyful event of Jesus being born. And you may say, well, I don't know why this is. It's because you are invited to be a part of God's family. That's why. You know, it wasn't just a Jewish event. It wasn't just something else that happened in Jewish religious history that perhaps would need a new holiday or a new observance. This was something that God had intended from the beginning to bring joy. That's what we're talking about. To bring joy to the Jews, but also to the non-Jews. You see, God's family is large and diverse. And Jesus didn't come just for the Jews. He came for non-Jews. And that's good news because most of us are non-Jews. God intentionally invites people, all kinds of people. And he invited you. And if you're not a Christian yet, he invited you too. They rejoiced, joy, great, extremely. Finally, I want to just say that since Jesus rose from the dead, you know, the Bible's not just about him being born. He grew up. You know, everybody loves a baby. We got Elwin over here somewhere. Everybody loves a baby. When the baby's out and she's cooing and stuff, I cannot keep y'all. Everybody goes right to the baby. Everybody loves a baby. But listen, Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew up and he entered ministry and he preached the good news and he set an example. He corrected some misunderstandings that people had about the Bible. He trained 12 men, and there were also women that were a part of his student group. He died on the cross, paid the penalty for your sins and for my sins. Only Jesus could do that because he is God. He is the only one that could pay for all my sins and all of your sins. And then he rose from the dead, and then he went back to heaven. He ascended to heaven, and now we wait for Jesus to return. Jesus promised that he would return. And so we rejoice today, at Christmas time, we rejoice at his birth. At Easter time, we rejoice because of his what? Resurrection. And ever since Jesus rose from the dead, people have rejoiced that their sins can be forgiven and that they have assurance of eternal life. The rejoicing started with maybe started with the shepherd and the angels and the wise men. But the rejoicing in Jesus goes on today. I remember when I became a Christian and the joy that filled my heart and the fear that left me. I hope that that is your testimony as well. Circumstances different, of course. But I hope that you have allowed Jesus to replace fear with joy. And you say, well, I'm not a very excitable person. Well, joy is not dependent on your feeling, right? It's not joy. Happiness comes and goes. Joy abides. Joy is with you during the hard time, and it's there for you during. Joy is that knowledge that you are right with God, and no matter what happens, you'll be with him. And that's worth it. Jesus still brings joy in people's lives, and I hope you've experienced that joy. And if you haven't, I'd love to share with you about it. And if you kind of forgot it lately, we'd like to help you rekindle it. Amen? It's down in there. It might need a little stirring. And Christmas certainly gives us. When was the last time? I hope it was today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.